Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm Jonathan Strickland, and today we're going to listen to a good old classic episode of Tech Stuff. This is prompted by the fact that the trailer for Star Wars Episode 7 came out and set my mind on fire. I'm sure I'm not the only person out there who feels this way. I love Star Wars. I thought the prequels had killed it for me, but this preview has me cautiously optimistic. And we thought it might be fun to talk about the lightsaber. And so I want to go back and listen to this episode that Chris and I recorded way back in April 2010. This is going pretty far back there, but we talked all about lightsabers. So check it out, and then when the episode's over, I've got a little bit of an update and some information to tell you. So we're going to start off this podcast with a little listener tweet. This listener tweet comes from Jacqueline Hyde, who says, "Got a listener request for you. How lightsabers work." The Force is strong with this one. So we are going to talk about lightsabers. This is kind of an interesting subject in the sense that really it belongs in stuff you missed in history class because it did happen a long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away?
Yeah. Or technically it could be fan stuff, but they don't have a podcast. So yet, we're going to tackle it before anyone can grab it from our cold, dead Padawan hands.
As the Jedi would say, neener, neener.
Yes, the Jedi would say that. So, of course, we're talking about the civilized weapon from a or the elegant weapon from a more civilized age.
Yes.
The lightsaber, as introduced to us through George Lucas's brilliant work, Star Wars, A New Hope. Or just Star Wars when it first came out in 1977.
It was not American Graffiti, as many people think.
No, there was no cameo of the lightsaber in American Graffiti. Although that would have made that movie that much more awesome.
Yeah.
So, lightsabers. Of course, this is the weapon the Jedi use, the magic sword of the Star Wars series. And in fact, when most of the interviews I've seen with Lucas, he just refers to it as a magic sword.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the purpose of it is. It's just, it happens to be called a lightsaber, but it's a magic sword. So the problem with magic is that there's not a whole lot to how it works other than magic.
You know, you're just totally getting into that early. I thought we were going to go ahead and talk about how it works.
All right, well, this has not stopped people from telling us how it works, despite the fact that it's magic. So let's talk about...
Because there are people who will argue exactly how this works.
Yeah, it's not
canon. As a matter of fact, we have an article on how it works.
It's not canon. And canon is important to me.
Okay, all right.
But then again, you know what is canon?
What's that?
Jar Jar Binks. So let's just move on into how lightsabers work. So a lightsaber is made up of several different parts. You've got the handle, which is pretty much where everything is, right?
Yeah.
So the handle has at the base of the handle, you've got the power cell,
mm-hmm.
and diatium?
Yes, the diatium crystal.
All right. So you've got the diatium power cell that's in the
base. Somebody's going to correct us, you know.
That's fine. You know what? If they correct us, if they take that time, more power to them.
The diatium
power cell is in the middle of a power vortex ring mm-hmm. and a power field conductor. Now, where does all this power go? That's essentially like the battery of the lightsaber. That's the very base. So,
and it's got a lot of energy stored in it, too.
Yes, lots and lots of energy. Now, where does this energy go once it starts to emit from the power cell?
It goes into the crystal energy chamber.
Right, where you have your primary crystal. Mm-hmm. Now, depending on whom you ask,
yes,
this crystal may or may not determine the color of the lightsaber's blade.
Yes.
Now, some would argue that the real determiner for the lightsaber color lies with the Jedi, him or herself, and the force that Jedi imbues the crystal.
Right.
So in that case, you could have any crystal and essentially have a lightsaber of any color. It would all be up to the individual Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Others would argue, nay, 'tis not so. The lightsaber color is dependent entirely upon the color of the crystal you select to focus this power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
So, you know, of course, we also need to talk about how Jedi lightsabers are different from Sith lightsabers, because they are.
Yes, they are.
So the crystals that Jedi use mm-hmm. tend to be natural crystals.
Right.
They're crystals found in caves throughout the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And so these crystals are, they can take the power and create the force of the, I guess, the actual lightsaber blade
mm-hmm.
is the best way of putting it. And the Sith, what they do is they'll make their own crystals. They'll create a forge and they'll build a synthetic crystal. And theirs tend to be red.
Yes.
Which is why you see Sith, like Darth Maul or Darth Vader or Darth Tyrannus, walking around with a big old red lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Jedi, they tend to stick with blue and green, although other colors are also available.
Yes. So there are more than, but there are more than one crystal, though. The
yes,
primary
yes.
crystal is just one part of that. There are secondary and smaller crystals, and it sort of depends on the Jedi who builds the lightsaber, because creating a lightsaber is part of becoming a Jedi.
Yes, it's actually the final step of Jedi training, according to Darth Vader.
Yes. So, but what the additional crystals do is they actually help focus the energy into a blade form.
Right, right. So the energy coming from the power cell, once it passes through the crystal, that's what gives it the destructive force that we see from lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
The other crystals focus that into the blade. And depending also upon whom you ask,
yes.
they may also give the lightsaber other certain powers.
Mm-hmm.
Like it may enhance certain aspects of the lightsaber. For example, we know that lightsabers can deflect blaster fire.
That's true.
Some of these crystals are apparently more effective at deflecting blaster fire than others.
Yes.
And others may be better at cutting through certain kinds of material. So now other scholars will argue
mm-hmm.
that's not the case. The it just focuses the blade, doesn't imbue it with any other powers. Personally, I haven't had my hands on a lightsaber in a really long time, so it's kind of hard for me to tell you exactly which ones are right. And also, I have only ever really used one. So with that small sample size, it's impossible to say.
Yes, and this is probably a good time to point out that if you do have the opportunity to use a lightsaber. Remember, it's not the kind of thing that you just want to play around with, because it can be a very very dangerous weapon.
Yeah, it turns
out serious damage
that when
it.
You can cut through, you know, a foot of steel, that it's not the best thing to, you know, swat a fly with.
No.
After it goes through the focusing crystal, it passes through the blade energy channel, which again further refines the blade and directs it into a straight line that would emerge from the hilt.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very top of your blade, you've got your cycling field energizers, your energy modulation circuits, and then you've got your controls. Your controls adjust the power of the blade, and it also adjusts the length of the blade. So even though we normally see lightsabers used at a pretty standard length, most people have it at a, you know, whenever they turn on their lightsaber, it's pretty much the same length each time.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, you can adjust that. So you can make it longer or shorter using the blade length adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a magnetic stabilizing ring and a blade shroud emitter at the very top, which help control the blade so it doesn't just zap out when you turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
That's your basic anatomy of your lightsaber hilt.
All right.
And then,
and of course, then there's the activation matrix,
yes.
Which is the Star Wars term for
the on switch.
Yes. I love that part. They're, the handle is about 30 centimeters in length, so they're not ridiculously long.
Right.
Which is good to know.
It generates an arc wave energy field.
Oh, yes.
And this is why the blades actually have a stopping point.
Yes. And it has it produces sort of a gyroscopic effect, too, which is why you have to be very careful with it, because it has a pull to it, if you will.
Right, but that also makes it easier to use, because otherwise it would be like swinging a flashlight around.
Yeah,
There'd be no feedback from swinging the handle, and it would make it much more difficult to master a lightsaber if you didn't have that gyroscopic effect when you started swinging it around. So the blade arc tip, that's the very end of the lightsaber, and the arc emitter is what's keeping it from becoming a blaster.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, lightsabers predate blasters.
Yeah.
Before
it was a more civilized age, after all.
Yes, it was, and you know, I guess civilized means that you lopped each other's limbs off, as opposed to shooting each other from very far away.
Never bring a lightsaber to a blaster fight. Oh, wait. No, you could do that.
No, yeah, you can do that because. All right. So let's talk about the basics of building your lightsaber. Now, each Jedi builds his or her own lightsaber as part of their training.
Yes.
And they're going to build it according to their own particular fighting style.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you heard about the different Jedi fighting styles?
No, I haven't.
There are 7 major forms.
I hadn't realized
of
that.
Lightsaber styles. Yes.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell this?
All right. I'm going to go into a little detail, but I'm just going to do this as a pretty high level thing.
No, so, we don't need to get into depth.
No.
This isn't Jedi fighting style stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's another podcast that we're starting next month.
Yeah. Start requesting now. Next month being April, I can't imagine when the first episode will come out. The fighting styles, you can think of it kind of like martial arts styles.
Mm-hmm.
Not all martial arts styles are alike. Karate mm-hmm. is very different from jujitsu, which is very different from aikido, which in turn is different from hapkido.
Is there drunk Jedi style?
No, there's no drunken master Jedi style. Although I hear Yoda can get up to some wacky shenanigans on a Saturday night. The 7 forms of lightsaber combat are actually listed as, you know, Form 1, Form 2, Form 3. They each have their own names, but I'm not even going to try and pronounce them because they're all alien and I don't have the capability. I don't actually know what the pronunciation is for most of them, but
if you hadn't spilled your midichlorians, you'd be fine.
I know. In general, Form 1 is the foundation. It is the basic form of lightsaber combat. It's your basic strikes, your basic defenses. It teaches you how to view the body as a series of targets. Like you think of, you divide up the body, like the head is a certain target, the arms, the torso.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, attacks are very specific to each target, you know, different slashing techniques and hacking techniques.
Uh-huh.
So Form 1 is kind of lightsaber combat 101. Everyone pretty much goes through that. Form 2 is dueling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this lightsaber combat really concentrates on finesse, blade control, footwork. This is the kind of style that Count Dooku / Darth Tyrannus used.
Yes.
Now, that is why his lightsaber handle actually has a curve at the end of it. It's so that he can hold it kind of like a pistol grip. Gives him a lot of control over the tip of the blade. And that's just his style of dueling. Now, this was much more popular before blasters came out because it was just really meant for lightsaber-to-lightsaber combat. Once blasters came out, Jedi began to realize that in order to deflect these blaster bolts, they would need to adapt their fighting style. This is not the best style to use if you're being shot at by stormtroopers, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was Tyrannus's favorite form. Then there's Form 3, which is defensive, where you are trying to reveal the least amount of target space on your body.
Right.
So it's really good for defending against blasters, that kind of thing. Form 4 is an acrobatic style, lots of flips and spins. You're using the Force to boost your physical abilities, so you're depending more on these acrobatics than on your blade at that point.
Yes.
So Yoda uses that a lot. If you've seen him fight Count Dooku, he's like a little Cuisinart. And then Form 5, that uses the deflective nature of the lightsaber to reflect blaster fire. You use strength in your attacks, so it's a more brute force kind of approach.
Mm-hmm.
This is the style favored by a certain Skywalker family.
Yeah.
Both Anakin and Luke used Form 5. Form 6 combines elements of Forms 1 through 5, but it also teaches that you should be detached from emotion. You should be using very calculating ways of moving. You shouldn't let your emotions dictate what you're doing. Form 7 is kind of the opposite. That's leveraging your emotion into power and using that to fight your opponents. This was what Darth Maul used, with some reliance on Form 4 as well, the acrobatic style.
Now, of course, he had a double-bladed lightsaber.
Yes.
And those don't work all that differently than a regular lightsaber. They're just basically two lightsabers attached together at the hilt.
Right. So there's four crystals instead of two.
Right.
Or a minimum of four, because you have to have four, two of the generator type and two of the focusing type at minimum. Yes. In order to create the two blades.
By the way, those focusing crystals are usually Adigan crystals.
Usually. But you can also find them on Dantooine, mm-hmm. as well as many, many other planets within the Star Wars galaxy.
Yes, until Sinistar comes after you and, calls you a coward.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I switched genres there.
Okay. You lost me. You lost me.
Seriously, you never played Sinistar?
I rarely played Sinistar.
Okay.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Way, 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 way back in the past, back when the Jedi were much more numerous, the color of your blade also would indicate what kind of Jedi you were.
Really?
For example, if you had a blue blade, that signified that you were a Jedi Guardian, and so you're much more, you know, kind of a physical, you would get into the fights, you would, you know, defend people with your prowess. Green would suggest that you were a Jedi Consular, and this would be someone who was much more thoughtful and kind of contemplative. And then yellow would indicate that you're a Jedi Sentinel, and that's someone who kind of was in between the other two. So not as physical as the Guardians, but not as brainy as the others either. So
yellow and blue do make green.
This is true.
I learned that somewhere. So should we go into the other aspect of lightsabers?
So you mean we're actually going to step outside of the realm of Star Wars?
No, I was just looking at the time and thinking
that maybe we should do that. That's probably a good idea. All right, so that's within the Star Wars universe, of course. That's how they supposedly work. And I should also add, none of that is canon. And when I say canon, I'm talking about the stuff that Lucas himself has signed off on as saying, yes, this is officially part of the Star Wars history.
Yeah.
Most of that is just the movies. To some extent, you could argue the books as well. Some of those Lucas has more or less said, even though that didn't appear in the movie, that is canon as well. But he never goes into explaining the blades in the movies. And so this is really other people trying to retcon, really, to explain why this stuff works.
Basically, and if you're unfamiliar with the term, a canon is basically the written instructions for how a magical or, you know, fantasy or science fiction universe operates. And it kind of helps you write the stories, and the Star Wars canon sort of came about after some of the stories had already been in practice. So it's a little looser than some of the other universes.
Right. So if you were to read some of the comic books or some of the other books that have been written in the Star Wars universe, you might notice that they sometimes contradict what happened in later movies, and that's because they're not canon.
Yep.
All right, so moving on to how they actually created this effect,
Which is really fascinating too, I think.
Right. Now, first of all, in A New Hope, the first film, they hadn't originally considered animating or adding any light to these at all. The original idea was that the lightsabers were going to have I think it was three-sided pole that came out. So it's kind of a triangular pole, and each side was coated with a very reflective material, and they used a lamp that was on the same side as the camera and focused the light so that it would reflect off of it, be really shiny, and there was a motor inside the handle that would direct the side to be aligned properly for the camera. But the effect was not as zippy as Lucas wanted.
Yeah.
So they started to cast about and see if they could find some other way of making this magic sword seem really magical. And they contacted an animator by the name of Nelson Shin. Nelson Shin took a week and looked at this footage that had been shot and used an effect called rotoscoping.
Ah, yes. The technique an animation technique that's actually a very old technique. A lot of people, and myself included, associate it with Aha's Take on Me video.
I associate it with Ralph Bakshi's Lord of the Rings movie.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Wizards was another movie he used it in.
Wow.
But it's where you take live-action footage and then you overlay animation on top of it, sometimes replacing the live-action footage entirely, sometimes enhancing it. And in this case, it was enhancing it.
Yes.
So what he did was he used animation cells to create this glowing blade effect on top of the actual physical rods that were in the shots, and then synchronizing the cells that he had created with the actual film, overlaying the animated effect on it, creating a new print that combined these two individual prints. And that's how he sent that back to Lucas and said, well, here, you can try this and see if this works. Lucas liked it. They decided to go with that approach. They refined it a little bit. They added some color, so you had different color blades, because originally they were both white.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of the lightsaber effect. Now, in the first three films, which, oddly enough, are episodes 4, 5, and 6, they used the rotoscoping technique, where they would essentially hand-draw these things on cells.
Yeah. Basically, what they do is they put that cell over the original film and color it in.
Yeah.
And then... But that's not all of it, because that does add some color to it. But from there, they have to shoot more film with the cell and the original. And when they do that, they shoot it over a black background and use a light diffuser over the lens.
Yes.
They double expose the shots.
Yes.
And that makes them really pop. That makes them look sort of, gives them that sort of otherworldly effect, how bright they are in the shots. So,
right.
It's kind of sophisticated when you think about it, but very, very time consuming.
Right. Yes. It took a really long time. It took slightly less time by the time they got around to the prequels, episodes 1, 2, and 3, because they could do it all digitally.
But somebody still has to go into the computer and
right. You're
draw
doing it. You're
over
doing it
lightsaber.
All in computer as opposed to doing it on hand.
Yeah.
Handmade cells. So, I mean, it still takes time. It's just not quite as time consuming, except for the fact that Lucas decided to throw in about, 10 times as many lightsaber battles in those first three movies as the original trilogy combined.
Yeah.
The actual hilts of the lightsabers were made up of old camera flash battery packs and other odds and ends, like stuff from hardware stores, like plumbing gaskets and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, they shot these movies in England, so they were raiding various British hardware shops. So a lot of the materials that they use to build the lightsaber handles are very hard to find, or sometimes impossible to find, in the United States, which is why it's kind of challenging to create a model of those first. Again, this is for the first trilogy, 4, 5, and 6. It's hard to make those faithfully, just because it's hard to get those parts in the United States. Now, for episodes 1, 2, and 3, those were all machined.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all like routed. They designed them in a computer and then used a router to cut custom parts and then assembled them. So it wasn't like they were just grabbing whatever they could find and sticking it together. They came up with the concept. An artist came up with the concept and then they built it from scratch.
That was actually one of my questions. Like, where are the Jedi going to machine these parts? And is electrical engineering part of their training?
It's Routandria.
Routandria.
Routandria, yeah. You go to Routandria, then. It's in the CAD system.
Oh, the CAD system. And, nice. Very, very nice.
A lot of rascals in the CAD system, as it turns out. I think Han Solo actually spent a lot of time in the CAD system.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
It's funny because when I started doing the two pieces of this, the fantasy part and the, you know, special effects, how do they make it happen? I started thinking about that. I went, so who's actually making these, you know, because each one is different. Well, that's one of the things too that that I think is at least somewhat canon is that it's all sort of individualized, mm-hmm. you know, to the Jedi. So I'm wondering if, you know, they have to go down to the shop, you know, on the 34th floor and go, yeah, I need, can you make sort of the arc tip sort of in this shape? No, not exactly like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of sad because when I look at the props from the first trilogy, mm-hmm. those look like things that have really lived in that universe
yeah.
for a really long time. I mean, the ships are all beat up, and even the Jedi...
The Jedi are beat up.
Yeah, the Jedi are beat up pretty bad. But no, even the lightsabers look like they've been well used.
Yeah.
Whereas if you look at the prequels, everything looks like brand new and sparkly, and it's just a little... It doesn't feel... To me, it almost feels like it's two different universes.
And, well, you know, they are, what, 30 years apart?
And on and 30 years? Come on. Do you really want to go down this road?
Because, look, no, we've been recording
for like 24 minutes. I'm not going to go for another 50.
Yeah. 50 is probably conservative in
yeah,
your
that
case.
Would be only because I'd have to stop and get a break to drink something. So we talked about the fact that, you know, rotoscoping, either digitally or by hand, that replacing frame by frame
yeah. mm-hmm.
these rods, the physical things that were in the shot. And you needed the physical rods because you needed to be able to make contact
yeah,
when
yeah.
you're doing lightsaber battles, right?
No, that's a good point. The handles that they use in the movies right now are, you know, plastic handles with aluminum rods, and they're
right.
they're basically cylindrical and colored red, blue, or green.
They actually had to wrap the aluminum rods in construction paper because they were giving off too much dust when they were colliding during the lightsaber battles.
Yes.
The original trilogy used, I think, wooden dowels. Mm-hmm. I don't think they used aluminum, at least not in the first film.
Yeah. I would imagine that would be a little hard on your wrists, too, because
yeah.
they're actually, you know, having a sword fight with aluminum rods. And
yeah. Now, yeah. the rods are thinner than what you see on the screen.
Yeah.
They're not as thick as the lightsaber blade appears to be. But yeah, they need that so that they can do these moves and make it look convincing. Otherwise, you would have lightsabers passing through one another, and that would just not look right.
Yeah.
So, so there is a physical object there that you are concealing with the overlay. And before we get into how you can do this yourself, I wanted to talk a little bit about the sound effects.
Oh, okay, sure.
They were designed by Ben Burtt, who was he's a brilliant sound designer.
Absolutely.
Sound designers are, I think of them kind of like a very specific type of engineer. Sound designers are the kind of people who can walk into a room and just take a second and think of a billion different ways to use the sounds that are naturally occurring in that room.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, we walk into a room, we'll hear a noise, and then within a second, we are already ignoring it. It's just been incorporated into what we think of as the background. But if you ever take a moment and really listen to your environment, you start to pick things out as they happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's one of those guys who can hear a noise and immediately say, hey, this would be great for blah, blah, blah. And when he was tasked with finding a noise for the lightsaber, he actually says this was the first sound he designed for Star Wars, was the noise of the lightsaber. And mm-hmm. he did it with a combination of two noises.
Yeah.
One was from an old projector. There was an old projector that would made this humming noise as it ran. And if you ran two of those projectors, you got a good little harmonizing effect with the hum. And that's so that formed the basis of the wow when you fire up your lightsaber.
Yeah.
The second was noise that you would get if you ran a microphone near a television. It would be this buzzing noise.
Oh, yeah, sort of a feedback.
Yeah, so that gives it the kind of little crackle sound that you also hear that's just sort of kind of a light sound underneath the thrum.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever someone would wave a lightsaber, well, you have to create the wow noise. The way he did that was he would move a microphone past a speaker that was playing that the humming noise.
Right.
And the Doppler effect would take care of the rest. So you're just moving a microphone around a speaker, and then it's translates into the whoom, whoom, whoom when you're waving your lightsaber around. Absolutely brilliant. One of the, there was no going into a synthesizer or going into a studio and trying to create this sound from scratch. He just found a practical way of creating it. And it's one of those things that is forever married with the Star Wars universe.
Yes.
You hear that sound, you know immediately what you're listening to.
Exactly.
Now, let's say you want to do this yourself. It's quite possible.
Well, you have to spend all that fuel getting to the other star systems.
No, I don't mean building a real one. I mean like creating the effect in a video.
Oh, okay.
So you can do this yourself with the right kind of software. And there are a lot of different video editing suites out there that have the effects that you would need in order to create a lightsaber effect. Most of them are like things like Adobe has several. There's even a tool that's called LS Maker, which allows you to create a lightsaber effect pretty easily. In fact, all you have to do is do two clicks and you create the basis of a lightsaber effect for a single frame of video. And then you can go in and tweak the effect so that it looks exactly the way you want it to. But again, you have to do this frame by frame.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you do two clicks and it magically turns something into a lightsaber. You actually have to go through each frame and replace the physical object with the lightsaber representation in order for it to work properly.
Yes, but YouTube is filled with people who have done this successfully.
Yes, yes. And some not so successful. Some of them are pretty awful. But the same effect, you can use the same sort of technology to create other effects besides the lightsaber effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that's one of those that is pretty easy to apply because really you're talking about a straight line.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. It is time consuming though. It can take hours and hours and hours to render a video that would only last maybe 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have multiple blades on there because each blade is going to require a different layer in your video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're going to, if you have like six Jedi out there and they all have lightsabers, that's six layers of video right there in order for you to have all the effects come together properly.
Yep. And then if, you know, they clash, then you have to add the sparks and all
right.
the other
Right. And
doodads.
Yeah, you have to, and it can be challenging. I mean, it's not something that you're going to be able to whip out in an hour. It's going to take a while, but it's doable. All right. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I had a great time with Chris recording that one. So the update I promised. Well, first of all, it's not about your broadsword lightsaber that was seen in the trailer. Although my favorite theory so far is that the lightsaber is so overpowered and janky, and it was made by someone who was not actually trained as a Jedi, that the cross hilt is not truly a cross hilt. Instead, it's vents that are venting off extra energy so that the lightsaber doesn't explode. It's awesome fan-made theory that probably has no basis in reality, but it's also pretty cool. I wanted to talk about an actual experiment that was done back in 2013 that showed how light can somehow behave kind of like it does with a lightsaber. So if you know your light physics, you know that photons don't normally interact with one another. That's why you can turn on two flashlights and pass the beams against and through each other, and there's no interaction, there's no interference, they just pass right on through. Photons normally don't mess with other photons. However, some scientists at the Harvard MIT Center for Ultra-Cold Atoms, which is the best name ever, discovered that if they super-cooled rubidium atoms, a gas cloud of rubidium atoms, to as cold as they could possibly get it, and then they passed a couple of photons through that gas cloud, they would start to push and pull on each other as if they were like lightsabers. They could actually physically have this push-pull relationship. Now, it all has to do with a pretty weird concept called the Rydberg blockade, which is, it states that if you excite an atom, then you cannot excite nearby atoms to that same degree. It is impossible to do that. So when a photon enters this super-cooled cloud of rubidium, it excites one of those atoms, and the other atoms around it can't be excited more, and that's where you start getting this kind of shoving behavior between the photons. The various press releases talked about it being kind of like the way atoms are arranged in a molecule. The photons actually clump together. So that's pretty awesome. Does it mean you can have a lightsaber? No. It's not gonna be helpful for a lightsaber, but it may end up one day helping us create quantum computers that use the interactions between photons to help do these computations. Normally, again, we can't do that. Or it might even lead us to being able to create three-dimensional objects, physical three-dimensional objects with light sometime in the future. How that works? You got me. This point, the physics are way over my head, but I thought it would be pretty cool to talk about. Anyway, let me know if you enjoyed this look back. Maybe one day we'll do another episode about lightsabers where we look into it again, especially given the new movies coming out. If you have any suggestions for future episodes of Tech Stuff, let me know. Send me an email. The address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com. Or drop me a line on Facebook, Twitter, or Tumblr. The handle at all three is TechStuff, HSW, and I'll talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.